You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm one of the co-hosts of this wonderful show. And joining me for our now once-a-week show, he is not eating on today's podcast again. He has eaten his lunch. He is full. Tony, how are you doing?
I actually just finished eating. Perfect. I had to make sure I got it in before we got started today. I'm good, Adam. I thought it was funny for those of you who don't get to hear this stuff. After we finished recording last week, me and Adam said, okay, we'll record a show if they sign a player any day before Friday. And if it's Friday, we'll just wait. And of course, they actually signed a consequential player on Friday.
What was it, Friday at like 3 or 2? Something like that?
At like 3, yeah. Not even early enough in the day to like alter your plans or anything.
No, I think I was walking out of some kind of meeting and I was texting him like, do we need to do this? Can we do it Sunday? Can we get enough out of a show? Because if we do it now, it's going to really damper up our Sunday or our Monday show, I guess.
Yes. So we waited to talk about Justin Holiday, which I think is pretty exciting for this point of free agency.
Yeah. So on this podcast, real quick, we're going to do the Holiday signing, maybe hit on Brema a little bit. Tony did that on Friday's show. So if you haven't listened to that one, check that out. Then we're going to do a rotation segment on, because now we have the official set roster. We can do some rotations. And then we're going to end today's podcast talking about rookie extensions with TJ Leaf, Aaron Holiday, and I don't think anybody else, maybe Alize.
That's it.
But that's it, right?
Wait, extensions or options?
Ooh. Options, sorry. Options.
There we go. Yeah,
that's it. I wrote extensions and then options.
Yeah, that scared me. I was like, oh, I didn't prepare.
No, options. So, but first we're going to begin with Justin Holiday, who signed for 1 year, 4.7, right, Tony?
4.8 million is the number that Shams got, which is super annoying for me. It doesn't matter at all, but because that's about the value of the room exception and about how much cap space the Pacers would have had left. So I don't know how they signed him, but it doesn't really matter.
So
that's how much money he got.
I know Sport Trek isn't always super reliable, but it says they used the room on him.
Yeah, a lot of people said the room.
No, it's at
4. It could be the room. That is about the room.
4.76, it says, at the room exception number.
That is exactly what the room exception is. But they had enough space to give him up to like 4.185. Again, this doesn't really matter. No one cares about this. But, the way we'll really find out what it is the order of the official signings, right? So if McConnell's first, that means Holiday gets the room exception. And if Holiday's first, that means McConnell gets the room exception.
Can you sign a room exception guy to a multi-year contract?
Yes, it can be up to 2 years, which is what McConnell is. So either of them could be in either slot. And then once both of them are done, then Sumner extension will go through.
Okay. It doesn't really matter.
Right? It does not. That's why we just wasted so much time. I tried to start off by saying this doesn't matter at all. But Holiday was one of the best five free agents left. And the thing that he brings that for the Pacers, he's probably one of the best three free agents left because he's kind of limited in a lot of ways, but he can defend the perimeter. He's immediately the best forward perimeter defender the Pacers have, and they need that.
Yeah. And you know what he is, his bullet stat is in on B-Ball Ref? You buy the page up, so you probably do.
Oh, wait, what is it? Sorry.
His bullet stat on B-Ball Ref. His bold, you know when somebody like has like a lead? Yeah, he's played every game the past two seasons.
Yes.
So that's good. I mean, having somebody who's healthy is also healthy. Quality. Or two of the last seasons, sorry.
Right, and we'll talk about this in our rotation segment, but just having him available every game, even if he might not play every game, is huge. But his situational versatility is so important because now, you know, this is what I included in my piece on him, is like, Warren is good at something, but the things he's good at are not defending the perimeter. And Leaf is not good at defense yet, and Sabonis can't defend the perimeter. And McDermott can't really defend the perimeter. So this is why you get Holiday. You need a guy who, I mean, you're not going to put him on like Giannis or anything because Giannis is just massive. But like perimeter-minded stars, I think you can get away with Holiday on them better than anybody else, even though his frame is pretty tiny.
Yeah, and I think you look at his stats. Also, he's a very, I mean, I'd call it just average three-point shooter, which is better than below average. So it helps. It helps have a guy who you can just throw out there and kind of stretch the floor if you want to maybe go three guards. Because I know Holiday is sort of a shooting guard, but he's 6'6", so he could.
He's a wing. I'm just calling him a wing for all.
Yeah, no, he could play some small forward for sure. So he's a guy who, if you put out there, put him in the corner, is not going to kill you. He may not be like this fantastic spot up shooter, but he could, I guess, add value on the floor, I guess.
I don't really care about his shooting, to be honest, just because I thought they needed a defensive guy. And again, his frame limits how good he can be on D, but he is good at that. But yeah, I think you said something important though, in that he's a willing shooter if you put him in the corner. Like, he's taken about 6 threes a game the last 2 seasons. Like, if he catches an open shot, he's going to take it. And that's good. That still makes guys have to guard him.
Yeah, and if you look at it at his he's basically the mold of a 3-and-D guard. It's what you kind of want, right? It's what the Pacers would be. Kind of the perfect free agent model is that 3-and-D player. I think Glenn Robinson kind of fit this when he was
not really 3-and-D. He fell off.
2-and-D, yeah. But I mean, I think at 6'6 with his wingspan, he can play 3.
No. I think he's average at both 3-and-D, which is good for a guy that you get for $4.8 million to be your last guy in the rotation.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought he probably was going to get a multi-year contract, would not be around this late.
Kevin Pelton said, because they were talking about free agents and values and stuff. I don't remember. Kevin Pelton of ESPN said something like, someone asked him why he hadn't been signed, and he said the rumor going around is that he's asking for too much money per season. So I think that's also why he took a one-year deal, is because he wants to be a free agent again next year. Even though there won't be that much money next year, if he has a good year, he can get back out there and pursue more.
And there aren't a lot of good free agents next year. It's a really dead market next year.
Yes. Yeah, there's not a lot of space either, but not as big of a deal when it'll be exception season for him.
Yeah, he'll be looking for a room extension or a mid-level extension contract.
Yeah, and the Pacers non-bird is competitive with that, which is important for the future. Because
what's the non-bird number for the
Pacers? The non-bird is 120% of that $4.8 million next year.
So if I do it real quick in my head, it's
like $6 million, basically. Yeah. That's a little – it's a little shy of $6 million.
Okay. Well, that's not – I mean, that's
– that's competitive.
Yeah, 2 for 12. That's a competitive contract offer. I think he's probably looking for like 2 for 16, probably.
I agree. Well, another thing is his agent and Aaron's agent does not have very many other NBA clients, right? So he's trying to get the big payday.
So you finally hit to the point. We've skipped over it, but they are now
Brotherhood.
They're 2/3 of the way to the holiday trio.
That's so fun. Like even if it doesn't pan out, it's just fun to have the two brothers on the same.
So, is there any way that Drew Holiday tells the Pelicans, "I want out. I want to go to Indiana to play both my brothers, but they can't trade for either of them"? Any way that happens?
I think it's way more likely than I did before they signed him.
The thing is, if you said that, I don't know how you make that work without trading Brogdon, which you're not going to do because you just signed him.
Yeah, one of the big men would have to be in that trade, but yeah, I mean that would be
too many guards, and you have like 5 good guards. Isn't really.
I know. Again, we'll talk about the rotation segment in a minute. Yeah. But yeah, it's super interesting that they have 2 of the 3. I mean, I know that story is going to be interesting the whole season. Every time they play the Pelicans, it's going to be hilarious. Now,
well, so I
like
also,
how do they do jersey swaps? Right?
Like
does Drew give his to Justin and then Justin gives him to Aaron? Like,
well, they do play twice, so they could one do one.
That's true. They could switch both games.
Yeah. The parents will have a nice time going to those games. It's easy. I don't have to go to like 8 of them. They can go to just two times a year that their brother or their kids play against each other.
The 2 holidays the Pacers have, their agent is, I literally just pulled his name up, is Charles Briscoe. His only other NBA client that has played before the season, only 2 are David Nwaba, who the Pacers have a relationship with, and Archie Goodwin. So every time Charles Briscoe signs a client from here on out, I'm immediately going to link him to the Pacers just to be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, right. The rumor was that Holiday had got the offer from the Pacers like early on, and then he kind of had said, "Oh, I'll put it in my back pocket and circle it back around." Kind of
I don't know about that. People keep telling me all this stuff about his free agency, and like I kept up with reports, and I did. All I saw was Michael Scotto's thing about how like there's like 8 teams that were interested in him, but I never saw like specific offers or anything like that. But I can't imagine he got higher 1-year deals like over the last week just because all of the money was gone.
Yeah. I will say too, I think adding him could be a good thing for Aaron Holiday.
Definitely.
Adds a voice who can be blunt with him in a way and can be, you know, push him in a way because you have somebody who can just be honest and like upfront to him about how he's playing, if he's not playing well. Right. I don't know if you tweeted this. It might have been you, it might have been Caitlin. I honestly mix them up sometimes. But when somebody tweeted that, like, you guys both tweet a lot of page stuff and I read them all and they all blend sometimes. You're both very good at what you do. So take a compliment. One of Holiday's biggest weaknesses last year was he kind of didn't see the outlet pass when he was driving in the lane. and like he wouldn't find the guy in the corner. He would sort of just keep trying to put his head down and get to the rim. If maybe having his brother out there will get him to kind of change that.
That's true.
You don't kick me the ball in the corner, you'll get yelled at by his brother essentially.
It was Kalen. I remember that. Okay. It was very good. Yeah, and you beyond mentorship of his own brother, this is like minor, but Holiday's the oldest guy on the team now by 3 years, Adam.
Really? He's 20. He's 30. I mean, he's 30, right?
He's 30. And I think the next oldest is Brogdon and Vic at 27, correct?
That sounds right.
And McDermott. Yeah, so he's the oldest guy on the team by 3 years of age, and he has that championship with the 2015 Warriors, which is hilarious.
Yeah, Justin Holiday to me feels like he's in his 20s because I can't believe he's been in the league for nine or whatever since he's been in now, seven, whatever.
He hasn't really been super impactful until like recently. The Bulls finally figured out how to get the most out of him. Well, the Knicks and Bulls, really.
Yeah, but if you look at his last two seasons, he's had
last really three solid numbers.
Really solid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 He figured it out. He's good. And I think just that now, what I'm saying with the championship thing in his age is like he's like one of the vets now, you know, beyond just his brother.
Oh yeah, I mean we'll talk about his next segment, like you said, but he'll be inching for RB rotation minutes at times.
Yep,
like he's not just some. So the other part of this is, so they still don't really have a four, right? Do we assume that means Warren's being the four?
Sabonis is starting at the four.
Yeah, but the backup four. I'm thinking.
I think they're going to try leave to start the year. We'll talk about this in the next section. I have thoughts on this.
Okay, yeah, I'm not trying I'm sorry. I'm just trying to think. So
we keep saying that, so we should get through Brima real quick and then talk about the rotation.
So why don't you give the quick spiel on Brima? Like I said earlier, you did a podcast on it, so if people want to hear that, listen to Friday's show. But give me like a quick.
Yeah, I mean, a Brima. Really defensive-minded center. He's just bouncy. He has the UConn field goal percentage record. From his 4 years there, and they've had some pretty good NBA players, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, he's mostly a defensive minded guy, he's bounced around the G League, played preseason for the Spurs 2 years ago, so he's like on the fringe between NBA and G League, but he's getting too old now, so he's got an Exhibit 10 deal. He will be more than likely either the last guy on the roster and then gets cut in January, or he will go to Fort Wayne. So they're mostly just adding depth there, but he's a good guy to have in Fort Wayne, you know, those. Defensive centers are good for everybody else.
So who's competing for that last two-way deal? I mean, because I'm assuming the last roster spot will not be filled, if not filled by some veteran who they
can. I agree.
Here. So what's the – I know there's a couple of guys. Who's competing for that last two-way contract? Because Brian Bowen has the first one.
Well, and it could be – they could just sign anybody, you know. You never like
– That's true. But, I mean, guys are bringing in that seem like they're going to compete for it. You're right. They could go anywhere, theoretically.
So last year they signed Wilcox after Summer League to that two-way deal. So I was wondering if Akun Purcell – who I thought was one of the better Pacers in Summer League, could get it. And then the other guys at the end of the training camp roster are Breida and then Jakinen Gant, who played Summer League and didn't really play a whole ton of minutes every game. And Wilcox again. And I don't think Wilcox will take another two-way, but he's still eligible. So in theory, any of those guys could get it.
That's fair. Do you think they go outside the guys they have? I mean, I guess
I'm not sure. Right? I think they kind of have stayed inside for a lot of their kind of like signings like that. So maybe they do just give somebody like a, hey, nice job, here you go. And then have Bowen be their outside guy.
There's also a chance they just don't sign a second two-way guy too, right? They decide,
there's no point of not. There's literally no point.
Can you hold it for later in the year? Can you sign a guy
two-way
mid-year?
You can just cut a guy and give a different guy later in the year. There's no like, penalty. Okay. So there's no point to not.
No, you're just losing your 50 grand, which in the ransom of the
salary. Well, no, it doesn't even count against the cap. Like, there's literally no point to not besides Herb Simon not wanting to pay a player.
I just mean 50 grand in general when you're spending $110 million anything to you. I mean, that's less than a half a percent of half of that's less than, I don't even know. That's a very minuscule amount of money.
Yeah, exactly. So there's no point of not. And like with Ben Moore, remember that he had the two-way and then he got promoted and then got cut like two games into the season and went to the Spurs. It's just like, yeah, you might as well have a guy in that spot, you know.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So we'll see. That probably won't be announced there's literally no point of like announcing who's going to get it early or like even saying someone gets it early. I think the reason they haven't announced this because they're like, all right, we have all these guys competing for that spot now.
Yeah. There won't be any emergency pop when they sign a two-way guy, which probably happened. It might happen like September range.
Well, they also have that last roster spot too, which any of these guys could get. And all their deals that are Exhibit 10s are fully not guaranteed, so they can just waive them in January and have a buyout guy. So.
Well, I also wonder if they'll bring in anybody else for that last roster spot. I don't know who's
left out. Yeah, like remember when they signed Wilkins and we were like, what the hell is that? And then he was like the greatest vet ever and kind of helped.
Well, isn't he the one? Did Wilkins make fun of Turner? Wasn't there some?
People thought it was him. I don't know if anybody ever found out who it was.
Okay, I'm trying to remember what it was or something. Like
We were all guessing. I think, didn't we do a whole pod where we thought it was him? I don't remember.
I don't know. We've done so many podcasts. I think we're always at 500, actually, when we look at our archives.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay, well, yeah, Brema's in the door, but he is almost certainly going to be a mad ant just because of his position, I think.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
The rotation.
Yeah, let's do a quick break, and then we're going to do the rotation, which will be a long segment, I'm sure.
Today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. I know, you must be wondering, what are your PG Locked On hosts doing such a raunchy ad for? But Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Now, there might be a time you were shaving below the belt, or it smelled too much. Whatever it is, Manscaped has the products for you. They have this thing called the Lawnmower 2.0, which offers a proprietary skin-safe technology so that when you trim below the belt, nothing gets hurt. They also offer a crop preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer that you put anywhere that smells. That means above the belt, below the belt, wherever, and it will help make the smelliest part of your body smell fresh and clean. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON right now, you go to manscaped.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get 20% off your order plus free shipping. That's the promo code LOCKEDON, and go to manscaped.com. I'm telling you, it will be worth it. Manscaped.com, using the promo code LOCKEDON.
Welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. All right, we've teased you enough this show. We held it out for the second segment of the show, but we are going to do a rotation now that every single roster spot that matters is locked down for the Pacers.
I have a question, but I'm assuming you are going to clarify very soon.
Yes. I know what it is, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Are we splitting this into two parts, or are we doing a fully healthy roster?
So I was going to say we should probably do a non-Vic one and then do a Vic one.
Okay. So Adam, I was thinking about this on my drive here from getting my lunch that I ate before the show. And here's the predicament I have. It's not really a predicament, right? It's just like a thought on like assigning numbers of minutes to guys that makes it a little harder for me. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Brogdon right now is probably the best point guard the team has, the best backup shooting guard the team has, the best backup small forward the team has. So
the best player they have outside of Oladipo.
You could argue the centers. But given the backcourt rotation, I almost said front court. You know, it's hard for me to assign minutes to guys and like – figure out where Brogdon's going to play and how much, because I feel like he could fit into so many roles so effectively. Now, when Victor's back, I think that's easier because Lamb has to play too. So Brogdon will almost certainly play all his minutes at the one, or the one, I'll put in air quotes, at guard. But I think without him, you could mix and match a little bit more, especially with McConnell in the door. So it's harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, I've been kind of tinkering with something in my notes section for a while, and it's still – I don't know if I even have the right number, because it also depends, you know, with Brogdon's foot too, are they going to try to maybe load management a little better? I don't know how bad, you know, they were concerned about his foot when he got signed and stuff like that. And, you know, he really hasn't peaked over 30 minutes per game. He hasn't really played more than 75 games winning of his rookie year. So is that issue the whole thing with how many minutes is Vic going to play when he comes back? And so it's hard. And then they have like six point guards all of a sudden if you start adding everybody back in. So.
They have six. I have three.
Okay, but I'm thinking like you could go Brogdon, you could go McConnell, you could go Holiday.
I think we're both in agreement. The season starts, and the starting five is going to be Brogdon at the one, Jeremy Lamb at the two, TJ Warren at the three, Sabonis at the four, and Turner at the five. Correct?
Yes.
And then I don't know what to do because backup point guard. I think I want it to be Holiday, and I think Aaron Holiday. Damn it. We're going to have to do that all season, aren't we?
Yeah,
Aaron, Justin. I think we both want it to be Aaron, but after that summer league and signing McConnell to a one-year deal, I just feel like there's enough signs that are scaring me to think that McConnell might get those minutes.
So to me, I think McConnell starts the year as the one with Aaron Holiday as the backup two.
Wow. Right?
And then it flips when Oladipo gets healthy.
Okay, so you're going to say the second unit is McConnell, both Holidays. Whoa, this one, McDermott's out for you completely?
See, I don't know. Do you put McDermott McDermott or Justin Holiday. That's the question.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, see, so it's already challenging. So I think my thought has always been that it will be either McConnell or a Holiday at the backup one. I don't know how they're going to decide that or what the plan is, nor has there been any inkling that we know that yet. Justin Holiday at the two, McDermott at the three. If they want to, they'll probably – I think they're going to do what they did last year where they try to have Leafy back up four at the start of the year and see what happens. Now, he got hurt like 4 seconds into the season last year, so that didn't matter, and then everything changed. But I think they're going to try that again, see what they have with him before they shake anything up, and then Goga is the backup five with Sabonis being in that front court rotation. That's what I think will happen. And Holiday might get spot minutes. Sumner's kind of screwed too with this Justin Holiday signing, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Sumner's ever going to get missed. I think
Sumner is out now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think he is out of the rotation with all the new signings. Not that I don't think he's good enough, because me and you, Adam, have talked about the best defensive lineup on the show before. I brought it up with a bunch of other people. Like, he might be in it still, which is very interesting. But it's hard to see a role for him now that they have a lot of these guardish wing types that are better than him for sure right now.
Yeah. So I think minutes wise to start, Brogdon would say plays 30. All the starters play probably 30 minutes. You think Mace Muster play more?
No, I think Sabonis might. This is hard. This is challenging already. I broke this out earlier, but I don't remember how I did that.
I got it in my notes somewhere. Let me pull it out. You see?
I think I agree with you that Brogdon might. I think I disagree with you about Brogdon. I think he might end up at like 32. Because he might play some like two guard minutes alongside McConnell or alongside Holiday.
Okay, but in this, are you think even in the lineup without Vic, he might play two guards still?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So we have 190 240 minutes to divvy up right between
the players. Yep.
So.
All right. So let's do the easiest one here. Can I do the easiest one?
Yeah.
I'm gonna put Miles Turner down for 30 right now. That's he's fine. Only going to play one position. He's not going to be in some funky crap limbo stuff that's not actually crap. I'm just annoyed at how hard this is. Miles Turner, 30 minutes. There we go.
I think you can do the same for Sabonis too.
But he plays two positions. You think he ends up at 30?
I mean, he played 25 minutes a game his last two seasons. I don't think he's going to end up playing 35 a game or something like
that. Fair. All right.
Let's I think 30. Here. You could say you could make an argument for 32. And I think sending for Turner, depending on like if they end up being really good or they feel like their five is really solid. But I think 30 is the right number, especially because like, we think Goga is going to be somewhat of a at least quality player. You kind of try to steal an extra minute or two here.
Okay. I think I want to say another easy one. This is just given my prediction that I think Leaf starts the season as the full time backup four.
Yeah. Now,
I understand that if he doesn't play well, he will be probably cut from the rotation, and that's where you get more time for Justin Holiday or McDermott or even TJ Warren as your backup four. But I said that whole spiel on Leaf so we could get to Warren, because I think if Leaf starts as the backup, I think Warren's going to be about 28 minutes.
That's the exact number I had in my head.
Okay. That was easy.
Yeah.
And then I think we should do the reserve centers and front court guys. So Leaf and Goga.
So Leaf, under this scenario, Leaf has to play. Goga has to play like 18, right?
Yep.
And Leaf.
I think Sabonis will be divvied up as like 28.
28. So Goga has to play 16.
And two. Yeah.
Leaf has to play like 20.
No, let's do 25 and five, and then Goga gets 13. And then Leaf gets like 15, and then McDermott gets some minutes at the four. Can we do that?
So how many minutes do you have for Goga right now?
13.
Okay, that's a weird number to have, but okay.
Well,
how many you got for Leaf? 15?
Yeah, let's go with 15. Let's just do 15 for both him and Goga.
Okay, I only he's gonna play like 13 is a weird number to fall at, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry.
And so now you're still missing about three center minutes. Who you get us a bonus, and then you need to pick up. So McDermott's going to pick up somewhere here like five extra minutes between his extra minutes at the back of three and playing power forward, right?
So where are we putting McDermott at, 20?
Yeah, so we'll put him at 20.
Okay.
Seems fair to me. So right now, do the math quick in my head. We're at
50 bench minutes and 88 starter minutes.
Yeah, so that's 138. So we need about another 100 or so, something.
102 between the last four guys, which is just over 20-something a game. So now, let's start with Brogdon. I think he's going to lead the team in minutes with Vic out.
Okay, 32?
32, I agree. That's I don't remember, and I wish I had that number in front of me, because I should have had that in front of me. But what did Bojan's minutes tick up to when Vic got hurt? Do you remember?
I will pull it up real fast.
He finished the season at 32 is the point, though, which is, I think, you know, the best non-Vic players getting 32 minutes a game. Brogdon gets 32 minutes a game. There we go.
Yeah.
So Lamb's an interesting one, too, because I think if McDermott struggles, Lamb could play some backup three, which is fun.
I think McDermott struggles, I'm likely to see Holiday fill in at three first before.
That's fair. That's fair. But and then you have the other Holiday play the bench minutes. But it's hard. You know, we can't do this exercise and be like, I foresee these guys sucking. You know, like, I just want to day one. Who's coming out of the gate with how many minutes? So I think Lamb and Warren should get about the same.
Yeah, I was going to say 25 or 28 in my mind for Lamb.
I think Lamb will get more.
The start of the year.
I think they might hammer Lamb a little, right? Because they're going to want him to – or excuse me, he's going to be dropping a ton of minutes when Vic comes back. You know, his endurance isn't as important in that way.
Yeah, I think he can get up to 30, to be honest, to start the year and then get down to more like 25.
Yeah. So we have remaining 42 minutes.
So how many did you put for Lamb? 28?
28.
Okay. So we have 42 minutes left?
42 minutes between McConnell, Aaron, and Justin.
So I don't really have any for Justin to start the year. And thinking that he's right. I mean, unless we're talking like five, like where's, you know what I mean?
I would put Aaron at like five. That's
really, I think Aaron's going to get a lot to start the year.
I think McConnell's got a better shot after summer league. I don't know why. I have no reason to think that. And I actually would prefer Aaron plays. I just think McConnell's going to play
more. This is where we have our first really disagreement. Everything else, I kind of agree with you on. I mean, I think Aaron gets like 20 to start the year.
Okay. Well, I think we should do it like this and just sort out. I have it literally as a slash. Like in my Excel sheet, I have one name for every spot except for backup point guard, where I have McConnell slash A Holiday.
Yeah.
So how many combined minutes do you think those two get?
Well, there's 42 left. I mean, probably 35 of those.
Wow.
Right? I mean, they need another 16. They still need 40 at point guard, basically.
Wanted to put Justin Holiday at 10 and then put 32 for those two guys. So 16 minutes each.
So I could see 10 for Justin Holiday, 20 for Aaron Holiday, and then 12 for McConnell. And McConnell.
That's fine.
Plays the spot where if somebody gets hurt, then he's up to like 30.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
Could
see Justin Holiday and McConnell end up flipped. I mean, here's what I could see. I could see Justin Holiday taking either McDermott or McConnell's minutes, depending on what happens. I don't think Aaron Holiday's going to give up his minutes. I think he's going to be improving as a player, so they're going to want to play him more and more as he gets better. But that's just my optimism, I guess.
I think that makes sense. I want Holiday to be the backup this year.
Yeah, but
I don't think the McConnell signing signals a ton of confidence in him doing that.
You know, I think the McConnell signing is more like we need a third point guard / he's a cheap guy that could provide some spark for us.
I hope he's like O'Quinn role as a point guard. That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of those deals where it's too cheap to say no almost.
That's too cheap. What do you mean? You mean the other way around? Oh, for the Pacers? Wow.
Yeah, like McConnell deal is really low cost, low stakes. Who else is going to fit in that like $3 million cap space they had or whatever?
That's interesting.
Right? I mean, who was left, right? If you think about it, guys, they're picking from who's left.
Jeremy Lin is still available.
Who is?
Jeremy Lin is still like a minimum guy. Actually sought out McConnell given the timing and the money.
Yeah, no, I agree, but do we really think, is Jeremy Lin like worldly better than McConnell? I mean, I could make case for either player being good.
Oh, they're both fine. I don't think one's worldly better, but again, you're paying one $4.5 million guaranteed money earlier on in the summer, and the other one's still available.
Yeah, but why
is Lin what I'm saying is it's signaling about his minutes, not about who's better.
Oh, I gotcha. I think it was just one of those things where they didn't – I mean, we don't know if they even had a shot at Lin when to come here for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever, I mean –
because Lin was talking about, like, if he doesn't get an overwhelming offer, he might go to China, which is super cool for him.
Well, I could see him doing that because he could do the what's his name? The Nikolai Mirotic route.
Yeah. That's true. All right.
You can somewhere add stuff there too.
Yes. I'm setting up a Victor is back side of the bracket. And I'm having a lot of trouble.
All right. So we want to keep doing this. Do you want to take a break and then do the Vic stuff?
Well, aren't we doing a segment at the end?
Yeah. So we'll just keep this going, guys. It's for all you guys out there. We're gonna keep it going.
For the people.
Okay. So when Vic returns, I think you got to, first of all, you got to cross that leaf at this point. I'm just going to say.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think, well, okay. Let's have this discussion now. So we have Justin Holiday is having the least minutes of the group from the first side, like the Vic is not healthy side of the columns. So yeah. There's your argument for him being removed. It's just like, okay, the least minutes he's done. But if Leaf hasn't impressed by this point, I think you have to just slide McDermott to the four and then move someone up to the backup three, Lamb or Holiday, and then put Vic in.
All right. So I'm taking Leaf out of my rotation.
Okay. McDermott at the four. Let's go.
And I'm putting McDermott's minutes to more like at least minutes.
I also did that. Good.
So that leaves us 20 extra minutes currently right now. I think you drop Lamb's minutes to like 25. Maybe less. You want to go like 20 for Lamb, you think?
Lamb, it depends how good he is in those first couple games.
So maybe here, okay. I mean, I think the other one is you might have to move McConnell's minutes out too. At least McConnell and Holiday.
Oh, for sure. Okay, so what are we saying? Vic's going to be also at 32?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I'm just slotting Vic in at 32 right away.
So I think he might play 32 minutes a game when he plays, but he might not play every game right away.
So
but,
you want to put like 30 then just to be
on? No, I'm going to put 32 because I think they're not going to put him in a game and not expect, you know, not fully ready for a role, I feel like. They'll just not put him in a game at all if they don't think he can do it.
No, that's probably fair.
So I'll put him at 32. So here's what I did, Adam. I just moved McDermott down to Leaf and gave him 15 minutes in Leaf spot. And then I moved Lamb down to where McDermott was and gave him the 25 minutes we just said, and then put Vic in with 32. And now we're 7 minutes over. Over the threshold here. 9 minutes over the threshold.
So you move Lamb to 22, right?
Lamb, I have a 25. If you want him at 22, he can be at 22.
I think so, because I think what happened, Vic plays, he'll play his minutes, but like you said, Vic might not play every night, so Lamb will still get his minutes. Like, he'll average 25 on the year, per se, but he'll play 20 when Vic's there or something like that.
So we have to cut 6 minutes, and I think it's pretty easy. You just do it from the McConnell-Aaron Holiday duo.
Yeah, and I think those duos.
26 combined.
So, yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, I would say make them 20 combined, and if Holiday's at this point proves himself well, he'll get all 20 minutes and McConnell's something bench.
Yes, agreed. So here's how we have it, folks. Adam, let me know if I have something that you do not think we have right. I have the fully healthy rotation as starting point guard. Malcolm Brogdon plays 32 minutes of some variety at a certain position. This year's going to be interesting because now the Pacers, like, rigid positions don't really matter, right? They're going to have a lot of guys at ambiguous spots. We'll just call it guard wing big. Brogdon will get 32 minutes at some spot. Vic getting 32 minutes at some spot. TJ Warren getting 28 minutes on the wing. Sabonis getting 30 minutes at a combo of big forward and center. And Miles Turner getting 30 minutes at center. How is that for a starting five?
That sounds right to me.
Cool. In our second unit, we have either McConnell or Aaron Holiday or the combination of the two in some variety playing 26 total minutes. That kind of sucks, but if it's just one of them, we'll just say one of them plus 26 minutes, which is cool. I'm cool with that.
See, I don't know, because I don't know if Holiday can handle that load of 20. He hasn't played that many minutes. I mean,
that's true.
So okay, maybe you see those minutes when, if they're in a really close game, Vic plays more like 35. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Important games, or Warren gets a little more. Some, I don't know, inches up. Lamb gets more.
Then we have Justin Holiday at just 10 minutes, and likely that's just like he either comes in early to guard the other team's really good player in the first quarter and third quarter, or you know, he. I don't think his minutes will be like regular rotation kind of thing. I think he's more spot sub.
So is there a chance that they just do the same thing where they put McConnell and Aaron Holiday together and those guys split those 36 minutes up and where it's like 20 and 16 instead of playing just
McConnell, Holiday. Aaron Holiday, Lamb, McDermott, Goga might be the worst second unit defense you could have come up with.
Right? But the thing is, if you're just trying to get a spark for 5 minutes, it might be combination of guys to get that spark, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's possible. I think Justin Holiday is the best of those three, but it depends what they're valuing at that point in time of the season.
And yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think Aaron Holiday's potential to be the best of those three guys. I think Justin Holiday currently, yes.
Oh, I don't. Not this year.
I You are you, man. You just.
I want Holiday to be playing the most. I just don't think he'll be better than Justin Holiday this year.
I think he's going to be good this year.
I hope so. Summer League was not inspiring. Jeremy Lamb at 22 minutes at a wing forward spot. Doug McDermott, same thing, 15 minutes at a wing forward spot. And Goga Itadze at 15 minutes to round out that bench.
So the only other thing I could see happening is McDermott gets bumped to like 10, Goga gets 20, and you see Sabonis play more like 32, 33.
Yes, I can also see that happen.
Or Warren play more like 30. It's, you know, it's like
40. Well, and if Goga is not ready for the translation, perhaps Turner and Sabonis could go up, and then you see more of Leafy, but in this group, but we'll have to see. I mean, yeah. I have no idea what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, or Goga is so ready they have to trade somebody.
That's certainly possible. Also.
That's the I
think my big takeaways from thinking about this in the car and now are, one, that Leaf McDermott battle when Vic is out is going to be fascinating. And I think McDermott is better. But, you know, if Leaf ever is going to show something, he's going to have to do it now. So we will see. And then the other one is the guards are just – it's not cluttered, right? I think it's clear, like, what the hierarchy is, although we did kind of disagree about it just now. I think it's relatively clear what the hierarchy is. It's just going to be interesting to see how it shakes out and, like, what their role they have envisioned for TJ McConnell really is.
Yeah. I think my biggest thing from this whole lineup is that they have a lot of guys who are a lot less – rigid in terms of positions, right? I mean,
I agree.
I mean, even if you take Sabonis and Turner, right? Theoretically, one of those guys could play the four if needed to be. Like, Turner could play the four. He has in the past. Yeah. He was not going to, but he could. But, like, they have a bunch of guards where they really have, I mean, I would say really only Holiday and McConnell have to be a point guard. All other their five, kind of even Warren could anywhere play from one to three at any time. Because, I mean,
I don't know if Warren can play the one, but I think the thing about Warren is he can play the four. So it's like,
That's right.
Can anybody really not do more than one position? Like, they have so much. So
yeah, like McDermott can play anywhere from probably two to four. If two, I'm iffy on. Warren can play two to four. Vic can play one to three at times, depending on what lineup. Probably we want to play more like one or two, but you know, Brody can play one to three easily. Holiday, Justin Holiday can play one to three. Lamb can play one to three probably if needed to. Like, that's. They have a lot more versatility this year than last year. There's not a lot of, like, Fad couldn't play three. He kind of really couldn't play five. He had to play four. But Bojan really had to play three, or was it?
If Justin Holiday's playing point guard, something has gone pretty wrong.
So I guess Holiday would be two, maybe more two to four, right?
Yes, so that I'm with you. Okay. I was like, wait, one through four?
I think I got two for four. I got a little hyped up.
I think that is interesting that they have that, because last year like you just said, they didn't. Like, a lot of their guys, I think Corey Joseph and Vic were like two guards that could play both, and that's why they fit so well together. But like, Collison was locked into a spot, and Bojan was pretty locked into a spot, just because of defensive limitations, and Thad was pretty locked into a spot because of offensive limitations. You know, they just kind of got stuck at times.
Yeah, I think too this. This whole team construction, interesting. It's this idea of trying to go modern, but then you're also trying to play Sabonis and Turner together. So it's like you take three steps forward to go towards the state of the NBA, and then you take six steps back to put together two plotting big men, as Caitlin Cooper would say.
If it works, it works.
Yeah. I think it's interesting construction. We'll see how it shakes out in terms of, like, if Goga becomes good or Sabonis and Turner don't work together, you have to trade one, you know, go for a three. If you add in some contracts, you end up getting, like, if you add Holiday and McDermott, could you get a player with that, and it's better than both of them? And there's all kind of stuff. Justin Holiday. Yeah.
The first 30 or however many games Vic misses are going to be so interesting to see who pops in what direction in terms of bad and good, because that has, like, career-altering implications for some.
No, and it'll be a good opportunity for guys to sort of prove themselves, right?
Think about it like this. If McConnell is just terrible in those games and Holiday's over him, like, McConnell might never play in the NBA again, ever.
And Sumner might take over him as the back. That's the third.
Yeah. Same with Leaf. If Leaf doesn't impress in those first 30 games, his NBA career might be over. McDermott, you know, he has one more year on his deal, but like, and he could.
McDermott's career is never going to end because he can't hit that 3-point shot. Like, really.
fair. His
he might be out of the rotation.
His monetarily centric future might change.
Yeah, I mean, I think he knew that 3 or 22 was the most he's ever going to make in a year, or, you know, that's the best he's ever going to get as a player. I mean, honestly, if Justin
Holiday,
he could be out of the NBA. I mean, he's
Justin Holiday, you mean?
Yeah, Justin Holiday.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I agree. That's why I took a 1 year, I think. All right. That was hard. That was fun.
Yeah. All right. Let's take another break. And on the other side, we're going to do rookie options. Welcome back in. All right, Tony. So there are only two rookies on the Pacers roster that have options, right? Or not on the rookie contract still, right?
There's three guys on rookie scale deals. Okay. Goga's the other one, but there's no option. Well,
isn't technically Sabonis too?
Yeah, his has already been picked up. You have a point. We have four. Man, I just choked that up so bad. But Goga doesn't have an option to year two. He's guaranteed already for that year. And Sabonis has worked through all the option points. So there's only two decisions to make. I'm writing about both of them. I'm putting air quotes up, but literally only one player's name is in the headline. And that's TJ Leaf, year four team option, and Aaron Holiday's year three team option. Let's just start with Aaron. Adam, I don't think there's really even anything to think about here.
So I think actually first, when do they have to pick up the options by, right? Isn't there a date?
Halloween.
Halloween. So they will get to see a week of the season before them, I guess?
Week and a half, yeah. That's why. That's another reason I think Leaf is a lock to be in the rotation right away.
Okay.
Because if he is just awful in that first 2 weeks, like, they could decline it. You know, usually Pritchard comes out on media days when he says what decision the team made on those, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think Holiday, they'll be like, yeah, definitely. But, I don't know. They might actually have to use those games. But, yeah, I just gave away the Holiday answer. I don't think there's even a thought.
No, it's $2.3 million. That's nothing. It's 1.8% of the cap compared to next year. I mean, it's just, there's no way you don't pick that up because it can't affect you at all. You're pretty much already over the tax next year anyway, so you're not like you can create a cap space or need the extra $2 million to get a max contract space. You're locked into this current roster, and you honestly need Holiday to be good, and so you pick an option.
Yeah, that's why it's interesting they did what the structure with McConnell of like the 2 years with the partial guarantee in year two.
Yeah, man, I think that's a hedge that if Holiday doesn't end up playing well, they can pick up McConnell for next year as the backup point guard. But if he does well, they can just dump McConnell.
Look at that. They're threatening.
Who?
They're threatening Holiday. Good. It's not a threat.
They're telling him, hey, this is your make or break the year. You should make an improvement to be like a backup point guard level this year.
You should do that. I totally agree.
I mean, that's what you expect of a 22-year-old NBA player. I mean, he is a little bit older than the rest of His timeline is accelerated because he is older than all the other players that get drafted. You know, if he was 20 years old, he might have another discussion, but he is, you know, he's older than Leaf, isn't he? Is he older than TJ Leaf?
He is older than Leaf, yes.
Yeah, so.
So just for the sake of talking Leaf, because I know a lot of people listening just think he's bad, and I understand he has not shown much of anything in his NBA career. So, Adam, let's look at next summer. I just added a zero on accident to a number. And it screwed up what I was about to say. Okay. If you cut McConnell, okay, so he's down to $1 million cap hit, and Sabonis gets no extension, so his restricted free agent cap hold is $10.5 million.
Okay.
You still are basically at best at $5 million in space.
So cutting Leaf gets you to like 10.
Cutting Leaf gets you to like 9, which is lower than the mid-level exception.
What you would have if you just keep him.
So you're not – I understand, like, maybe you could use the cap space and the room exception. So you might grow your spending power by the tiniest amount.
Yeah.
But that's, like, it's that much spending power worth losing him? I mean, maybe if he's completely awful these first 2 weeks, then I think so. But, like, I don't know. If you're going to be over the cap anyway, and if Sabonis gets extended, then you'll definitely be over the cap. Like, you just can't replace him, and you don't gain any more power of spending. It's like – you might as well keep him, right?
Yeah, because also that contract is tradable.
Yeah,
only way where he can be filler in a bigger deal.
Yes, $4.3 million of filler on a rookie scale deal, so you could psych it out as potential, even though it's not.
Well, no, but like if you do some math with it, like let's say you add in, I mean, this is just you do a McDermott, Leaf, Turner. That's $30 million, which is about what a max player makes at out of previous deal if you want to go after somebody. I mean, I'm not saying you're going to trade Turner, but just saying that's what it does.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
If you extend Sabonis right now, you can do that with him next summer if he's at 18 as well.
Yeah. And that's what another factor is like. Well, the answer is more concrete for Leaf if Sabonis does get extended. I think TJ Leaf might be rooting for Sabonis to get extended more than anybody in the world because I think it increases his chances of staying on the roster.
Because that's very interesting. That $4.3 million Leaf will never see that much money again in his life.
Unless he really shows out. But it's interesting because it's like Solomon Hill where, you know, so if he gets it declined and then he's really good his third year, the Pacers can only pay him up to that last dollar, like that $4.3 million amount.
Yeah, but don't we actually, in hindsight, think that saved them from themselves in a way, too?
I don't think they would have paid Solomon Hill that much anyway, but yeah.
No, but if somehow they could have, they would have. It's a good thing they couldn't, because he's not.
I feel bad for Solomon Hill, because obviously he's ridiculously overpaid. He's not a $12 million player, but like he's like fine, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I feel sorry for the guy who has played.
Oh, come on,
30 awesome games and got $2 million, and then he's like, I get he's not like fantastic. He's not worth the money he makes now, but he is a decent player. But I feel so bad for the guy who had made 50.
I don't feel bad for him financially. I feel bad that people just have like written him off as a player. Like he's like fine, you know.
I don't know.
You can have Solomon Hill for $5 million. You'd be like, yeah, okay, that's fine. He can help our team win.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got paid basically because he had a playoff series where he didn't miss three the entire time. Except
him and Biombo, man, they did the same thing.
The only thing was that he couldn't get it off in time in that game.
That was the worst.
Ugh, that was the absolute worst. Him, Biombo, and Jan Mahimi all made their money off that series probably.
The playoffs, man, that'll do it. Yeah, so maybe Leaf has an explosive playoff series or something. But yeah, the Pacers are limited to paying him that amount next summer anyway, even if he does blow up. So you're almost hedging your own bet. Like if you pick it up, I don't know. I don't really believe in him as like more than a back end rotation guy making about that much money anyway. But I don't see the value of declining his option because of the opportunity cost, where there's like the backup plan is worse than not having him.
Yeah, and also I think you made the perfect point about the cap number. Right? Keeps their spending power, and that's all that really matters, right?
Yep.
I wanted to ask you though, where do you think Leaf actually went? Like, where it went wrong with Leaf?
Man, I don't really know, because it's been a weird ride for him. At UCLA, he could actually like beat a guy or two off the dribble, and his shot was good. Ish, and he's an all right three-point shooter, but not a good free throw shooter. And then in the NBA, his first year, that kind of maintained, right, where he was a little more offensive savvy. And then in year two, when he beefed up and stuff, like his defense got a little better. You know, there were noticeable, it wasn't good, but there were noticeable improvements. And he was a great offensive rebounder, and he was actually like a decent post. You know, he improved in a bunch of areas noticeably, but his shot just went away. It's like, well, if he had both of those, he might have been pretty effective last year, but he didn't. So it's hard for me to pinpoint it.
Is there enough there where you think if he could put together this season for 20 games, you could actually earn himself, not a contract extension, but like something of like, oh, this guy could play rotation minutes and not be removed from a rotation that we had, and maybe he overtakes McDermott in a way.
Yeah, that's, again, he might be battling with McDermott for that backup four spot before Vic returns. And I think I mean, I can't wait for the schedule to come out just to see how many games they have before Halloween, right? Because that's like a TJ Leaf tryout almost. I mean, preseason is there too, but It's certainly something interesting for me, at least.
I'm going to guess probably like 7 or 8, right? They just play 2 weeks before them.
Well, no, because this year got pushed back a tiny bit again, remember? I think the first day is October 22nd, so I think it's going to be like 3 or 4.
Oh, yeah. It'll be like 3 or 4. I mean, I think at the end of the day, there's just no way it's not picked up just because of the way they are capped.
Just because of the cap, I'm with you too. But I you know, that's the flip side of not cap is the roster spot, right, which is not money related. It's like, could a minimum guy, like obviously a minimum guy might offer more in terms of impact, but you already have like 10 guys on the roster next season who are probably going to be in the rotation. You know, next year you still have Oladipo, Brogdon, Turner, Warren, Lamb, McDermott.
Their entire roster is locked except for Sabonis next year. The same guy they have now, except for that. And
Justin Holiday. Yeah, exactly. So like, it's not like you're going to use that roster spot for a minimum guy who's going to play either. So.
I feel like
the opportunity cost, you're not going to get a potential or like a former first round pick, you know, or anything like that. And even if he never pans out, at least you tried. You gave him the full 4 years and it didn't pan out that way.
Yeah. And I mean, really, if you really desperately need the rock, can you just cut him? If you really need that.
Yeah, that too. It's in the last year of the deal. Who cares at that point?
Yeah. And we've also seen that they clearly have an extra rush, but they don't really ever use anyway. Yep. So like they just put him in that spot for now until they desperately need it. So yeah, I mean, I think, good for Leaf if he gets picked up, because it's going to, you know, he'll have now made.
I think things kind of just broke his way, you know, like the way the roster got filled out around him with all these guys getting a bit longer term money and like the backup four never really getting solidified and Thad leaving and the way the cap shook out, like it all just, I mean, not that I like think he's lucky because he's an NBA player, but just like it all kind of works out for him that he gets probably 2 more years now to have a chance at this.
Yeah, I also think if he had been on a team that was rebuilding, he might have had more an opportunity minutes, to showcase and develop. You know what I mean? He's been on a roster that's been playoff good that just is doesn't put up with anybody who can't basically provide positive minutes in a playoff position. I mean, Aaron Holley last year, if he was on a bad team, would have probably played 25 minutes. We would have seen a lot of flashes and a lot of downs to him. But we said we saw very little of that because they were focused on making the playoffs.
You know what I'm going to say too, right? No, you don't, do you?
No, I don't. What are you going to
say? He played like the fourth most minutes of rookies on playoff teams. Like they actually got him minutes on a good team.
No, no, I know. But I just mean overall, if he was on like the Hawks, he'd be playing 30 minutes.
Right. That's all I mean. Right.
I mean, if you're playing for a bad team, you play a lot of minutes.
And I always argue with people about that on Twitter. They're like, well, who cares about Goga? They're not going to play him because he's a rookie. I'm like, no, rookies don't play on good teams. This is not a Pacers-related issue that you have somehow snarkily dug up, Twitter loser.
Yeah, to me, Goga is only different because
Europe.
Play professional basketball. Like, he's, you know what I mean? So he can hold up in an 80 – he's played like, whatever, an 80-game season, whatever they play out there. Like, I mean, the rookie guys have to go from playing 30 to 80 games to playing from – 35 minutes and every other, you know, two times a week to playing 20 minutes, four times a week. It's harder.
Right.
Transition.
I'm with you. Yeah. I don't think it's a binary decision like a lot of yes or no decisions are because there's a lot of layers in it. But I actually think it's actually more in favor of Leaf than a lot of people would give him credit for at this point in time. And I have said that he had like January was clearly the best month of his career last year. He was good enough that I actually wrote it like TJ Leaf was good this month, guys. Like remember that Celtics game? He was actually good, you know? So, you know, he had moments last year, and I think my gut says it's like 55. No, probably higher than that. I think I'd say like 65% chance they pick it up, and he's around for year four.
Would it be even crazier somehow if Leaf becomes so good they have to trade Sabonis Turner because they can't play essentially?
Okay, here's a fun question to end the show, Adam. What is more likely to be the Pacers starting front court when they win their next title? Sabonis and Turner or Goga and Leaf?
Ooh. Well, considering that, I don't think they're probably going to win a title anytime soon unless they're somehow – I mean, unless we're thinking Turner's going to be a top 15 player someday. I don't know. I guess I would actually bet the Goga Leaf one because Goga has a better chance of being – we don't know what he could be, right? Turner, I think we know, is going to cap out at like a 30 to 40 best player in the league at any moment, maybe even below that. Goga, we don't know. Could he be something like out of nowhere and caps out at a top 15 player? I mean, like, what did – you know – Jokic was this way, right? Jokic was like a 20th pick, maybe something like that. Maybe even was he a second round pick, actually.
Jokic, he was like a 42nd pick. Yeah.
Okay. So, or Gobert was 27. We're like, he could have been really bad, or he could be really good. You just don't know. And these European guys, especially a lot of them, are not. You can never tell because you don't know the level of competition they're playing against, whether it's high enough or not. So
the foreign big man the Sixers drafted a few years ago, Andrzej Pachnik, just played summer league for the Wizards and never played an NBA game. That's the flip side of the scenario.
Well, because the competition level, you just don't know if it's they're playing against players who actually make them look really good or are actually competitive enough where they actually like make they're actually good. I guess that Goga's actually good. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the whole point of rookies, right? It's all a mystery.
It's all mysterious. That was fun. That was a good episode.
Yeah. You guys can read Tony's article on the what are you doing? It's on the rookie.
I wrote about Brima, wow. His first name's Amita. I wrote about Brima and Holiday over the weekend, and then I will have something about these team options that we just talked about with a little more specifics on numbers and stuff sometime early this week.
And I think you guys can tell where Tony's going with his opinion on those.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay, it's fine. He talked it out. Now it's going to be even better in written word.
I actually do think that I write things better after I can talk through it, but then it ruins the article, you know?
Yeah, but you probably get more people to read it because it gives a bigger audience or it spreads out farther.
I don't know how that works. I don't really care.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. This is so inside baseball right now, it doesn't really matter. All right. You can follow our podcast at Locked On Pacers. You can follow Tony at T East MBA. You can follow me at Freedom Adam 5. That is all of his Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll see you guys again next week.